haven't seen in a generation plus, maybe since the Golden Bear in 86. It was awesome. And here's the other thing I'll tell you. And I mentioned this as part of the weekly reboot podcast that came out this morning. I am not telling you that you have to like Tiger Woods, the human being. Just like I'm not telling you that you had to like Michael Jackson, the human being. If you loved Thriller or Off the Wall, you just liked that stuff. That appealed to you. Yesterday was amazing for sports. Yesterday was amazing for golf. And if it didn't get your motor revved up a little bit, I don't know what to do for you. I certainly didn't see it coming. I've said on this program, it's done. He'll never win a major again. Great reminder for me and anybody else out there who thought like me, of which there are probably many, that it's not always black and white. Tiger Woods, operating in the gray area, did so and came out roaring in red yesterday. And boy, if that didn't give you the feels, if that didn't put you in the Wayback Machine at least a little bit, I'm not sure you got a pulse. We'll talk plenty more about Tiger Woods. Those are my opening thoughts. The other big storyline that came out right when LSU wanted it to, in the midst of Game of Thrones coming on, which for some of you people out there in listener land is a thing. Not me, but I respect it. LSU reinstates Will Wade. My bullet points, because I'll get to them quickly. We got to hit our first break. We got a great guest coming up in less than 5 or 6 minutes. It happened quicker than expected. Friday was the first meeting. Certainly, you didn't think they'd conduct all the business they needed to, get all the answers they had to in that meeting. So for me, this came a little quicker than expected, but still, I think the writing was on the wall. This was an expected first step. Wade's new representation, namely Stephen Thompson from Chicago, knows what he's doing. And sometimes you have to go the Johnny Cochran route. We mentioned that on the show last week. That's the button that Wade has been pressing for the last week to 10 days. This guy was able to get Wade through to where he needed to be to at least get to this new fork in the road. So kudos to Wade's new representation. This also allows Wade to recruit, and in the case of some of the guys that are out there testing the NBA waters, re-recruit or recruit back in. All I will say from here is we will see what happens. I don't believe that it's done quite yet. And none of this has an inkling to do with what I'm rooting for. I'm not hearing anything from the inside because, frankly, this is the best job I've ever witnessed LSU do of circling the ranks. Almost always there's a leak. It's just the way it goes coming out of LSU. Look at the way that the Les Miles thing went down in November 15. There's almost always a leak. There's really not this time. But I am right there in lockstep with Scooter Hobbs of the Lake Charles American Press. Tried to get him on the show today. My man's basically out of voice. Literally can't talk. Scooter, we love you. Get better over there in the Chuck. But I'm right there with Scooter. I thought the same thing when I read Joe Oliva's comments that Scooter did. There is some incredible ambiguity in what I'm about to read to you. Will Wade's explanations and clarifications offered during the meeting, absent actual evidence of misconduct. And then what follows is maybe even more interesting. Absent actual evidence of misconduct, satisfy his contractual obligation to LSU. Boy, if that's not a $10 million coverall, then I'm not really sure what is. So what I'm telling you is this. I don't think it's impossible that Wade stays reinstated as LSU's coach and will be going into next year. In fact, I'm out of the game of prognosticating what happens in this case. What I'm telling you is this isn't an open and shut case that he is definitely in and going to stay in. Contractually, I think Oliva and Alexander did what they had to do after Friday's meeting and maybe what Wade's new representation prompted them to do. I'm just not sure that it's quite over yet. I don't think anybody should be sure of anything with this case at this point. All right, big program today. On the other side of this break, national Fox Sports commentator Tim Brando joins the program. Same two topics I just canvassed. We'll get his takes. Tiger Woods winning the Masters. Just how back is Tiger Woods? And Will Wade reinstated by LSU? Who's the blame and what comes next? Tim Brando joins us in our next segment. At 5:30, Billy Napier reacting to the Cajun spring game. And at straight up 6 o'clock, Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle Don't look now, but those Stros have won 9 in a row. How do they do it? And what's on deck for A.J. Hinch and company? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, Big Show, and we're kickstarting a big week on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Quarter after 4 o'clock, right back in with more of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game. Mitch, we got a huge week coming up. You want to spend a huge weekend in Houston. We're all in favor of that here at Acadiana Sports Station. We've got another Houston Astros Weekend Getaway Sweepstakes powered by Lafayette Roofing and A-Loft Houston Downtown. Enter in the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse. It's really easy. You can enter to win 4 tickets to the Saturday and Sunday games, game day parking, a ballpark tour, and a one-night stay at the A-Loft Houston Downtown. I said it's easy. It's also free. Just register inside the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse, and you can go to see the Astros and the Indians April 26th and the 27th. It's another Astros Weekend Getaway Sweepstakes powered by Lafayette Roofing. All right, doing our best to bring you Tim Brando in this segment. I like having people on this show who don't always tell you what you want to hear because you want to hear it. Why? Because in many ways, that's who I am. That's how I operate as well. I don't see this Will Wade thing as a totally done deal and as totally positive momentum. I'll tell you more about that later in the show. I see Clint talking right now. Hopefully, that means we have a thumbs up. I'm looking to get some perspective, not only on Tiger winning the Masters, but also Wade, LSU, and kind of where some of this goes next. And so with any luck, that's what we'll be doing right about now. We got the thumbs up. That's exactly what we've got. Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Our pleasure to bring back aboard the 103.7 The Game airwaves, Tim Brando, national sports commentator for Fox Sports. Tim, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's great to have you back in Southwest Louisiana. I want to start with Tiger Woods winning the Masters. Did you ever believe what unfolded yesterday was possible, especially during Tiger's deepest of kind of valleys?
Well, I believed it last week because I picked him to win on Twitter, and I picked him to win on a few other shows. I really thought that his game had come together and that Augusta National was in the right shape, and I didn't think really a lot of the greatest of players were playing maybe their best golf at this stage. You know, the big talk was the heavy money was on Rory McIlroy, and I didn't see that with him going into to this week. And Woods, you knew for the last 6 months had been really preparing for this opportunity. I actually thought, and I particularly felt good about the thought that Phil Mickelson could be the one that could rival Tiger. And then after the 67 he had on day one, I was pumped up for the potential of that happening because, you know, Phil would have been the oldest ever to win a major and would have been by far the oldest to win at Augusta if he had won. And I still think he's got it in him. Mickelson's hitting the ball now as far as he's ever hit it. Tiger is not obviously, he hits it a long way, but he's certainly not hitting it as far as Phil is, and he's not hitting it as far as most of his competitors. Francesco Molinari was, as you could see yesterday, was by him, and certainly Tony Finau was too. But the nuance around that golf course at Augusta and having played there so many more times than any of those other guys on the first two pages of the leaderboard really paid dividends for him. He played intelligently. He knew where to miss it. I don't think the other players necessarily did. He identified wind issues when maybe you need to look a little higher up when you're on number 12 tee, something that Molinari didn't do, nor did Finau, nor did Brooks Koepka. And he just played a very intelligent game and then attacked when the right time came. The fairway iron he hit on 15 was just immaculate. So, yeah, I thought he could do it, and he did. And the culmination of his professional comeback now seems complete with this win. And I think it's made available to him only by his personal comeback being so great prior to that. I don't think that one would have happened without the other. And, you know, I for a short time yesterday, this is a blanket statement, but I really believe it to be true. And I've seen some of the hatred that's still out there. When I write something positive about someone on Twitter, you're always going to get the loons that come back from the cesspool of message boards that now are on Twitter and say, you know, blah, blah, blah. What about the scandal? What about the scandal? But for a little while yesterday afternoon, I think what we learned is that Tiger Woods, a golfer on a Sunday afternoon at Augusta, is capable of bringing together a very polarized country, both generationally and racially. That's what I took from it. And I thought, well, that's another reason why sports is so cool. It's one of the reasons why we love it to the extent that we do. And that was fantastic. And I don't care, really, all ages, you know, really appreciated it. And in the aftermath of it, when you saw him walking back towards the cabin to sign his card, from Bernard Langer to Ricky Fowler in age groups there, you saw people that genuinely were happy for him. And I think his reaction to them, as well as to the patrons as he was leaving, high-fiving everyone, from outside the ropes, that's very uncommon for the old Tiger Woods. This is the new and improved Tiger, and one that I will champion a great deal more than the over-glorified, well-packaged Nike product that he was when he first hit stardom.
Tim, I believe you've read my mind here. I want to ask you, which do you see as the bigger hurdle that Tiger's had to overcome, the physical setback surgeries or the emotional, personal life turmoil? It sounds like you think one feeds into the other.
Well, I definitely think the second one doesn't happen without the first one having happened. And this has been true with a lot of golfers through the years. He wouldn't be the first. I remember my friend and a guy that I grew up with, really, in Shreveport, Hal Sutton, had a second season to his career in his 40s. In fact, during that period, around 2000, he went mano a mano against Tiger when Tiger was number one in the world and beat him in the Players' Championship. And that was en route to Hal becoming a Ryder Cup captain a few years later. Hal had been out of the game and had had all kinds of problems, had gone through four marriages, and he had finally gotten married, had some children, got his personal life probably in the best position it had ever been. And he was player of the year in his plus 40s. It happens with a lot of guys. Golf is such an individual game, and most of the great players will tell you that if you're not selfish in your approach from a business point of view, you're not going to succeed. And I think a lot of times that can spill over into players' personal lives and impacts them professionally later on in their careers. You know, Hal was called Air Bear when he was coming out of Shreveport in 1983. He won the PGA his first year. Most people thought he'd win a gazillion. But he had all kinds of issues in his personal life, and his professional career path changed and was altered quite a bit. He was really out of the sport for a while, came back, and then had that second run that was just fantastic. So they're not as well documented or as chronicled as someone internationally known quite like Tiger, but for several golfers, I mean several big-name golfers, their personal lives were problematic, and it impacted them professionally. And then once they solved those issues, they came back, and because golf is a game where you can play a lot longer, you can have a second whiff. You know, you can have a second chance at success, and that has certainly happened here with Woods. But in terms of what he went through physically, I can't imagine. I'm a 63-year-old that loves to play golf three times a week, and I'm popping ibuprofen like most guys my age before I play and after I play. And he's out there competing with these young guns that are incredible that he helped make because of his greatness, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s. These kids were just being born, and he's out there not only competing with them, But beating them now, that's amazing, particularly to have gone through the rash of injuries, and that at one point within the last 2 years, he was unable to walk or pick up his kids. That just that had to be incredibly difficult from a physical point of view. But that, again, goes back to the personal side. I think if you don't understand that there's something more important than you in your life, then you don't get to the point where he was, so that he could finally make this about-face and turn in his career and take those of us that were once critics and get adulation from us in the second go-round. That's the thing that's amazing to me. I made a point to another gentleman the other day. I said, I can't imagine an athlete, an individual athlete, that has changed his image any more than Tiger Woods, maybe since George Foreman. If you're old enough to remember George Foreman before he lost to Muhammad Ali in the rope-a-dope, and then you met him about 5 years after that when he went through all the things in his life that he did, and then he made this incredible comeback to win a heavyweight championship. He was like one of the most beloved, happy-go-lucky teddy bear figures, and got all these endorsements with the George Foreman grill and you name it. It was a completely different individual. And I think, to some extent, Tiger's path has been a little bit similar to that.
We're joined by the great Tim Brando, national sports commentator for Fox Sports. Turning our attention to Will Wade, his reinstatement by LSU. Who draws your ire the most in the way that this situation has unfolded?
Oh, gosh, just the system. You know, I'm not gonna take shots, any more shots at the individuals that I already have. I think you've read my tweets, and you've certainly heard maybe past interviews that I've had. But just understand it from this standpoint. Everything that is wrong with intercollegiate athletics, literally everything that's wrong with intercollegiate athletics, is on display with what's going on in Baton Rouge right now. There's simply no upside whatsoever. No one in a leadership position has taken responsibility and accountability for the abandonment of that basketball team that won a conference championship and went into March Madness without its leader as its head coach. The school is not being accountable. The athletic administration literally running to the hinterlands to protect what? Other than themselves. And then the coach who determines, no, it's not in his best interest to meet with his bosses until long after his team has gone through what the March road is all about. He needed to be there with his team. And if he is so misunderstood, and if he is literally being taken out of context by whatever was reportedly on those wiretaps, he should have been shouting at the mountaintop, get me back with my team, get me back with my team. None of that happened. And this reinstatement statement from the athletic director's office is another farce. Nowhere in there does it say we suddenly believe our coach, or that we believe that he'll be there for multiple years, or the length of the remaining years of his contract. None of that is there. It's legal mumbo-jumbo, all brought on from a coach who is lawyered up and an athletic administration that has doesn't have the legal means to handle the lawyer that's handling Will Wade, who also handles Sean Miller in Arizona, handles Bruce Pearl in Auburn, and Will just was a little late to the gate to get the right guy to make sure that he could be reinstated. The bottom line here from my point of view, and I'm looking at it from 3,000 feet in, is that I've been in this business long enough to know when no one's being honest with me, and no one's being honest with me. Until somebody in a position of leadership, whether it's the president of the university, the athletic director of the university, or the head coach, says something to me that's not in a written statement of legal mumbo-jumbo, none of them have any credibility with me whatsoever, and they have become a national embarrassment to my home state, and I don't take that lightly.
Tim, incredibly well said. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'd love to do this again. Thank you for doing it today.
You bet. Happy to be with you.
That's Tim Brando, national sports commentator, Fox Sports. some strong statements. I share some of those sentiments, especially toward the end. We've got 45 minutes for you to react. Our next scheduled interview is with Billy Napier, midway in the 5 o'clock hour. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Awesome for Timmy B to stop in on Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we're right back ourselves on 103.7 The Game. Your opportunity to respond starts now. 706-0111. Got a couple of questions for you. Something we do just about every day in the 4 o'clock hour. I'll spit them momentarily. But there was something that Brando said at the end there that especially made sense to me. In fact, I think it helped to explain some of how I've been feeling. If I can kick my feet up on the old couch, tell you about my feelings. It's been very clear to me for some time that LSU fans almost unanimously want Wade back, and the message that I've received is win at all cost. Forget about what may happen. I use the phrase protect the shield, and basically the kickback and the feedback I've gotten is to hell with that. Team won an SEC championship this year. That doesn't happen often. They were in the top 10 for a while. That almost never happens with LSU basketball. So just go out there and win, baby. And I told you Thursday, kind of feels like Al Davis, just with even less morals. It's been hard for me to wrap my mind around why it's made me feel like it has. But part of what Brando said there, it resonated with me. As somebody who spent all but almost 5 years of his life living in the Pelican State, I think the way this thing has gone down, the brash arrogance, cheating, and sloppiness from Wade, which I refuse to diminish in all of this, the way it's been handled by the athletic administration, LSU's higher-ups in general outside of just athletics, knowing about this since October, not really feigning interest until their feet were held to the fire with the subpoena report that came sometime this spring, I believe in mid to late February. I think what Tim Brando said there finally helped bring it full circle for me. It's an embarrassment for my state. And it is. The way that it continues to go down, it's a farce. And for people inside to say, well, Duke does it, Kansas does it, everyone's cheating, man, why are y'all mad at us? That's just ignorant. And think about that line of thinking. And if you actually allowed that in your kid's life. You know, I'm not going to get on the pulpit and full out preach morals at you, but just think about how ignorant that is at a base level. And it continues, in my opinion, to make LSU, and more importantly, Louisiana, look ignorant. Just going to leave that right there. Let you respond as you'd like. It's a bad look. Can you maybe get over on what was thought to be an FBI investigation that you were a part of, even if you weren't at the center of it? Looks like you may. Looks like you might not have to testify. Can you get over the NC2A, which time and again has been toothless? Looks like you might be able to. Although, trust me, they're coming on campus. Just trust me that's going to happen. Can you get over on your own administration, which won't stop tripping on its own feet? Well, yeah. Looks like he'll definitely be able to do that. I'll take his Chicago-based representation over Oliva and company any day of the week. So, for people that are using this as their rallying cry, that Oliva and Alexander need to go, I think it's the wrong rallying cry, but I don't disagree that that should be the end result. So, we're on the same page there. But to think that Wade is some kind of martyr in all this, to me, is a joke. And I don't mind sharing that with you. My guess is you could disagree. Let us know. 706-0111. All right, CD. Who wants to come and play in the sandbox?
Oh, we got Frank, man. He wants to jump in on this.
Let's go to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Frank, I showed you my cards. Show me yours.
Well, Ben, I did tell you about this. I did tell you that money talks. I know you're a little bit younger than me, but big money is always going to win. I don't think that this is set in stone yet, but, man, the concrete is starting to set up. The rebar is put in. I had a feeling this was coming because, I mean, LSU hasn't had this kind of season in basketball since when? My point.
I had a pretty good feeling that reinstatement would come as well within the last week to 10 days, right? So with the fairly seismic move to new representation or adding this new representation, it seemed like this was greasing the skids for what transpired last night to occur. I don't disagree with you. I don't know that it'll be a done deal moving forward, but I guess at this point nothing would surprise me.
Well, it shouldn't surprise you because, I mean, they want to wipe the slate clean. They want to get away from this stain on the carpet as fast as they can because, like Brando said, you know, this is an embarrassment to the state. LSU's had one of the most winning seasons they've had in forever and a day, seems like, for basketball. But there is another question that I want to throw at you because okay. You're a hoop hit.
Give me.
Okay. This is a question you haven't thrown out there yet, and I'm kind of shocked that you didn't, but Filippone did. Is Golden State winning every single freaking championship every year bad for the sport?
Well, completely unrelated topic, but I'll go in on it. Frank, you know I appreciate the call.
Too easy, Ben.
We'll keep that going. I'll give 2 cents on it, and if needed on the other side of the break, I'll throw you 10 or 15 more. I don't like the fact that with the current CBA, players can move. They're taking less money in the case of Boogie Cousins. For a while, they were taking less money in the case of Steph Curry, although that's changed. I don't like the fact that they could team up with these super teams and there's no incentive for them to think otherwise. I'm not terribly keen on that. I've told you that ever since Kevin Durant went to the Bay. Is it bad for the sport? Not entirely, but it'd be nice if there were another combatant, right? I don't need there to be 4 or 5 teams that can win it every year. I just need 2. You only needed the Lakers and the Celtics in the 80s. You only needed the Lakers and the Celtics in the 60s. We could play that game for a while, couldn't we? You only need 2. So my point is, I'd like to see Brad Stevens and company get it going in Boston. I'd like to see Philly get it going, although I'm not so sure that's happening, in the city of brotherly love. You need someone who can keep them honest, who can keep it close. And so, Frank, to answer your question in short, it'd be nice if there were someone else who were in the same stratosphere. It'd be nice if they could be challenged by at least one person. If there was an epic battle of East versus West, that would be nice. The way it is right now, it's not ideal. But I'm not going to tell you out and out that it's bad for the sport, because I do think that, in some ways, it raises interest in that franchise. It raises interest in greatness. I mean, was it bad for the sport that Michael Jordan was winning time and time and time again? I'm not so sure that it was. The only difference now, it's not one guy. It's 4. It's 5. And they don't seem to want to leave one another because they've got an awfully good situation. All right, CD, I see the phone ringing. Who's up next?
Yeah, Jay wants to keep it going with the NBA talk.
No problem. Out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Jay, you're up.
Hi, I just want to answer the last caller question, and the last call is correct. It is bad for the league. The move Kevin Durant pulled, you know, but we have to ask ourselves why. Why moves like this are taking place or are taking place in the past?
Well, I'll throw an idea out there, and I'll get your feedback on it. I don't defend what Durant did at all. In fact, I wasn't a big fan of it. But I think he watched the way that his team disintegrated, first and most importantly with James Harden, second with Serge Ibaka, and suddenly a team that was on the brink of winning an NBA championship was kind of a Batman and Robin show that if they were lucky could get back to the conference finals. I think he saw the writing was on the wall that it wouldn't happen there.
That's not true. Man, it was up 3-1, man. Hey, man, the dude basically hit up talking heads every day. If you don't have 1 title, 2 titles, you ain't nothing, right? They don't want to be a Barkley. They don't want to be a UN. Dudes who are great players, but how many titles? It's all about titles.
Well, I agree with you, but how is what I said incorrect? I remember they were up 3-1 on the Warriors, but then they didn't get to the finals. I guess that's my point.
It's a business, man. Oklahoma, if that team was in Seattle, maybe they would have had the money to get all the players. You know, maybe they would have that, you know, whatever. Seattle's more of a metropolitan area than Oklahoma City. Maybe they would have had the money to pay the luxury tax. Harden just wanted it. That just wasn't going to happen, man. Harden wasn't going to stay a sixth man. You know, he had something to prove himself. And look, basically, see what you see where his career has taken, you know, has taken off from. So, nah, Ibaka, no, man, we're trying to move on. You know, it's just him and Russell Westbrook. The man basically ruined the NBA, man. The call is right. He's correct.
Well, I don't know that it was him. I appreciate the call, Jay. If you're going to go down that road, and I don't blame you, LeBron ruined it, right? I mean, he took a page from the LeBron book. LeBron went to a place in Miami that already had an in-its-prime D-Wade. They added Bosh. LeBron went back to Cleveland, where David Griffin had already drafted Kyrie Irving and simultaneously brought in Kevin Love. So I think he stole a page from somebody else's playbook, and we can't forget about the big three in Boston and all of this either. He didn't invent this. He's just probably the worst offender of it. Let's get back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Tommy is with us, and Tommy wants to talk LSU.
Well, I got a lot of upset people about basketball, no matter what's going on.
What you got, Tommy?
Ben, I want to tell you, on the LSU Wade deal, there's culpability all the way around. Obviously, I think there's a lot of smoke in everybody's camp. And what bothers me the most is the mishandling of all this. If you know what I can understand, and I know the guy's got a more high-powered lawyer right now, but if they didn't know how to handle it at the beginning, why was he suspended? And then all of a sudden he's back. And then who knows what's going to happen after this. I mean, it's just been the M.O. of Oliva ever since he's been there. It seems like everything he touches gets botched.
Yes.
And has to do a fire drill.
Almost all of it, with the possible exception of the hiring of Beth Threnor for softball. Seriously, I mean, that's a pretty nice ray of sunshine. And people thought that Wade would be another, but I'm here to tell you, I'm not the type of guy that puts my hand on the stove, gets burned, and then puts my damn hand back on the stove. So if Wade is the coach of LSU next season, I will do my level best to show him respect. Just know that it's going to be difficult.
Well,
that's just how I feel.
It shouldn't have got to where we are right now.
LSU's biggest botching of this occurred between October and the middle of February. They didn't do their due diligence then. It accelerated things to where it got in a bad position from mid-February until current times, and they have absolutely screwed it up since then. So Tim Brando's right. They're not without culpability. I just don't think that Wade is either.
No. There's guilt all the way around. And I mean, we're dealing with a young man who obviously made a mistake. We were supposed to have, you know, this high-powered athletic director and leadership at the university. It's not there.
No, I'm right there with you. Tommy, I appreciate the call. You're right. And
take care.
Problems with leadership at the top. Having some conversations on a Monday. None of them about Tiger Woods and the Masters yet. We'll see if we change that on the other side. I got your sink or swim question of the day coming up next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we will be right back on 103.7 The Game.
It's a yearly tradition. The Wally Pontiff Jr. Classic between the LSU Tigers and the Louisiana Raging Cajuns is this Tuesday, and you'll be able to hear every pitch, clutch hit, and more on Acadiana's number one sports station. That means you can hear Chris Blair on the call, and it will be on a crystal clear FM signal. That's UL versus LSU in the 2019 Pontiff Classic on 103.7 The Game, presented by Louisiana Hot Stuff, Lafayette Marble and Granite, the original Ground Patty, Acadian Pawn, and J.P. Thibodeau.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Ten minutes to 5 o'clock. Now we're starting to warm up. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Billy Napier, our next scheduled guest, will wrap up the Raging Cajuns spring game and their spring camp that's coming your way at 5:30. Between now and then, we got time to talk. Keep them coming. It's good to hear from Frank, Jay, and Tommy. You are up next, 706-0111. But I'll try and facilitate things. I'll try and help you along the way. I've got two sink or swim questions of the day for you. There's one that I want to let out of the bag right now. Exciting and new. We will take them one at a time because, well, we've got plenty of time to talk with you today. Here's your first Sink or Swim question of the day. Which weekend event brought you the most happiness? I'm going to give you four options. Is it Tiger wins at Augusta? Is it LSU reinstates Will Wade? Is it Dustin Poirier wins the UFC lightweight title, Lafayette represent? Or maybe you're one of these people. Is it Game of Thrones season premiere? I guess. Think on those, then call in. 706-0111. In fact, we're getting out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. All right, Dustin, you just heard the Sink or Swim question of the day. Which one is it for you?
Man, Tiger Woods winning is a storybook comeback. Should be a movie later on in life. Game of Thrones was amazing, but nothing compared to seeing our boy Dustin the Diamond Poirier get that title. Seeing how much he's fought. I've been watching this dude since before he entered WEC, if anybody remembers what that is. I mean, it's truly amazing. I don't get choked up with sports moments a lot, but when he had that title and that post-fight interview, man, that done it for me.
Dusty, that was awesome, man. You felt like he did it for you, did it for the area.
Yes.
That was very well said. We appreciate that from Dusty. And he recognized the greatness of Tiger as well. And we got more calls coming in, so we can keep taking them. I don't mind telling you that for me, the answer here is Tiger winning at Augusta. But I bet if I were originally from Lafayette, I bet if I knew Dustin Poirier from back in the gap, yeah, that might be my answer as well. So respect to Dusty there. Clint, what you got?
I'd probably lean towards him, Dustin Poirier as well. That being said, though, we got Frank back on the line. He said there's way too much low-hanging fruit on these branches, so he's going to start snatching them up, brother.
A double dip from Frank aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Dangerous. All right, Frank, what you got?
No, dude, it's got to be Dustin Poirier, especially what he said after the fight. The dude gave it to his wife. She's been there from the beginning. I don't know if you watched the fight, but, dude, he smashed this guy. Like, he beat this guy, and there was respect. And that's what I loved. All five rounds. He respected this guy. They didn't talk smack. They were like, you know, let's throw. Hands up, let's do it. All throughout the fight, even after he cut him. Just, it was respect. And then after the fight, he said, this is for my wife because she's been with me from the beginning. That was awesome.
I'll tell you this, piggybacking off that, Frank. My friend, the professor, Tim Crater, crazy Tim Crater, he told me long ago that you have no idea how much it means to the Acadiana area in Lafayette that Daniel Cormier represents. And you saw him doing commentary on that fight. Dustin Diamond Poirier goes out and fetches the title. There's so much from this one area, the fighting city of Lafayette, the fighting metropolitan area of Acadiana. That's some pride bubbling up to the surface there, brother.
Well, one little caveat. Tiger Woods and all his back issues, man, talk to somebody in construction or cabinetry. They deal with that at least twice a year. This was too easy, Ben.
It was. Not showing proper respect to the injuries that El Tigre had to go through. We got time for maybe one, two more in this hour when you're ready. 706-0111. I can tell you that the response on Twitter is pretty slanted. It's pretty slanted toward Tiger winning the Masters at Augusta. In fact, let's see here. We'll hit the refresh button. 59% of our respondents say the Tiger winning at Augusta brought them the most happiness this weekend. 18% said LSU reinstating Will Wade. 14% said Game of Thrones premiere. 9% Dustin Poirier lightweight title. I'm glad that we've had 100% representation for Dustin Poirier calling into the program. Maybe it'll balance out some of the Twitter hate. Of course, I'm one of the people that champions the idea that just because it ain't your favorite doesn't mean you're hating. So maybe you on Twitter aren't hating. It just wasn't your favorite. I'll try to accept that as a possibility. CD's taking more calls. Oh, we'll shotgun one more in. There's no question we got time for this. CD, hit me quickly. One more time. Who do we have aboard?
We got John.
Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. All right, John, which one brought you the most happiness?
By far, Dustin Poirier. Top of the line. Game of Thrones is second. I go Will Wade third, and Tiger brought me no joy. Never liked Tiger. He's an arrogant POS, and I'll leave it at that.
All right. John's got a vote in. And so far, 100% of our calling constituents say that it's Dustin Diamond Poirier, your UFC lightweight champion. I could tell you this as well. Got a text into the program. We'll keep him anonymous. You might know who he is, so we'll keep it anonymous. Ben, it's not that I support Wade. It's that I don't want the other guys around. So I'm going to read into that text as in maybe the reinstatement is getting you a step closer to alleviating yourself of a leva, if I may. Take some poetic liberties and license. I think I've earned enough leeway to do that in 4 years of this show and, you know, about 9 or 10 years before that of writing. Alleviating a leva. I might copyright that. So, yeah, I get where you're coming from with that text. It's not about Wade staying, although you wouldn't mind that, it sounds like. It's more about this helping to drive the wedge that you want it to drive. All right, quickly, let's get to one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Kudos. After falling early, the Cajuns got up off the mat and won twice to take a series this weekend, and that is big time. They've got LSU tomorrow, and that's going to be a lot of fun. But you go with some momentum, and kudos to Robe and Company for that. Take it 2 of 3 in the Sun Belt. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We're coming right back in, taking more of your calls. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crowe Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. It's a Monday, tax day, April 15 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Right back in on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And we got you all the way until 7 o'clock tonight. That's when the Paul Maneri Show takes over our humble abode for the next 2 hours. The 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We have talked Tiger Woods. We have talked LSU basketball. We even took a Golden State Warriors detour somehow, some way. We'll get to Raging Cajun spring game at 5:30. Billy Napier sits in to talk a little bit of Vermillion versus White. But, CD, before we take this next phone call, and we will in a moment, I want you to at least hear from Tiger Woods, at least once, before we start going right back down some of the same wormholes, which, of course, I don't mind doing. 706-0111. He did something that was historic, not just because of the layoff, but he also did something that he's never done. He came from behind to win a major.
To have the opportunity to come back like this, it is probably one of the biggest wins I've ever had, for sure.
Unbelievable what unfolded yesterday at Augusta National. We'll keep taking your temperature on it. Back out to the ARTCO Equipment Hotline. Mike, thank you for your patience. You want to talk Tiger?
Yes, how you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Yes, sir. I was listening to one of your callers a few minutes ago, and he referred to Tiger Woods as arrogant. I got offended because I want him to tell me, where has he ever seen Tiger Woods arrogant? I mean that is the worst thing he could have said, one of the worst things he could have said about Tiger Woods. I think I know what his problem, but I'm not going to say. But arrogance is not part of Tiger Woods. This is one of the greatest moments in sports history, and he's going to come up with a word, arrogant. Give me a break. Thanks for taking my call.
Mike, you got it. Appreciate you letting the load off. We got more time, 706-0111. And for those just getting in the vehicle at 5, technically, after talking with our guy Tim Brando, I wanted to spit not one but two sink or swim questions of the day. We've only had time so far for the first, but I think it's guiding us. exactly where we need to go, because yesterday was a remarkable day of sports and news. In fact, let's just take a wider snapshot. Let's say Saturday night to Sunday night. And so it led me to ask you this. Which weekend event brought you the most happiness? Tiger winning at Augusta, LSU reinstating Will Wade, Game of Thrones season premiere, Dustin Poirier winning the UFC lightweight title. We've had at least one texter to the program suggest that if Game of Thrones is an option, this isn't even a real sports show. I resemble that remark. Maybe it's not even a real sports show. It's just the best in Louisiana talking sports for no reason. That's fine. But we've had a lot of interesting response so far. A lot of the Twitter crowd is throwing votes toward Game of Thrones. I could tell you that on Facebook, not exactly. In fact, let's share some of that right now. Continuing to abide by our first name only policy. We're not trying to get anybody fired today if you're listening while working. Brian says, Dustin the Diamond Poirier by far. Nobody, in all caps, deserves it more. Every caller we've had so far is going for Dustin Diamond Poirier too. Chris says Tiger wins. Joseph says tie between Tiger and Game of Thrones. Good luck, God bless. Nick says Will Wade. And maybe my personal favorite, Jamie says Easter break starting for teachers. That's not a good response. That is a great response. Let's keep getting more. Back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Max, thank you for waiting. You want to go in on our sink or swim question?
Ben, Dustin, by far, easy number one. Tiger hits golf balls. Dustin gets punched and kicked in the face for a living. It's not even questionable. But I hope you led the show with Dustin winning, because now Lafayette has not one, count them, two title champions currently wearing the belt from our little Crescent City. That, to me, is absolutely amazing.
It's incredible. And one of them, DC, commentated, we appreciate it, Max, on Diamond while he was winning it. I thought that was pretty cool, too. Acadiana talking Acadiana. Now, you're just tuning in, so you don't know. I didn't lead with Dustin Poirier. I led with Tiger winning the Masters with a brief segue into Will Wade reinstated by LSU, because I knew those are the paths I wanted to go down with Tim Brando at 4:15. Let's keep taking your calls. Back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Chris, when it comes to Tiger Woods, what did yesterday do for you?
It was awesome, man. A long-time listener, first-time caller. Just wanted to say that he was chewing on that bubble gum pretty good, and whatever type of bubble gum that was, I think is going to get him a good check. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Okay. There we go. Let's keep it rolling a little bit. He's got a first-time, long-time. Why don't we go out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline? I think we're going to get a long-time, long-time. In case you never heard of one of those before. T, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Ben. Yourself?
I'm doing well.
Good. I'm going to say Tiger Woods for sure. All his injuries, and from what I've read, you know, by the way, it'd be 12 years come the 25th sober. So I've heard he got addicted to painkillers after his surgeries and stuff. And for him to come out of that and be sober and win the Masters, I mean, and everything emotionally he went through, I got to give that guy credit, man. Big time.
T, first of all, congratulations to you on the 12 years that's coming up. That's outstanding. And it's just one of the reasons why, even if you don't like Tiger Woods personally, you damn sure better respect what he just did professionally. I equate it all the time to people's favorite artists. Trust me when I tell you, if you don't know, I'll ruin the dream for you. Some of these people are really horrible individuals in their personal life. But if you like their music, if you like their craft, I think you should be able to dissociate those two things. That's just me. But let me end where I started, T. Congratulations.
Hey, I appreciate that, Ben, and love your show. And one more thing, I hope they don't make an example out of LSU, the NCAA I'm talking about. Appreciate you, man.
All right, T, you got it. Interesting, right? And I try not to always spill the beans from the weekly reboot podcast on this show. It's meant to be separate for a reason, but I'll encourage you to go check it out if you want to go a little further down that road that T helped us explore there. You go to 1037thegame.com, the free mobile app, click or tap on demand. At least one of the comparisons I made with Tiger is related to the former Texas Rangers star. And why am I blanking right now? Hamilton. Help me out here, CD. Give me your first name.
Because, Josh Hamilton.
Thank you. Josh Hamilton. Guy was the first overall pick in 09, didn't even get – or 99, didn't even get to the show until, I think, 07. Pretty remarkable. And, again, Tiger struggles his may not be synonymous, but I think there are at least some places where you could see a carryover. So, again, I'm not telling you to like Tiger as a person. I'm not telling you to condone some of the things he's done. What he did yesterday, it's absolutely one of the best comeback stories in the history of sports. All right, back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Steve from the Barry. How are you?
What's going on, Ben? I got a three-way tie. Tiger, I got a Game of Thrones, and Will Wade. But one thing I got to say about Tiger, when Tony Finau and Molinari went in the water, number 12, Tiger didn't go for that pin. He went with, he did what Jack Nicklaus said to do and go between those two sand traps. And that's exactly what he did. He bailed out. And that's smart. That's pretty impressive. Okay, thanks, Ben.
You got it, Steve. And I know exactly of what you speak. Some maturity. It's kind of the opposite of if you've ever seen the movie Tin Cup. He didn't go full on Roy McAvoy. And that's part of what comes with age. Like Jordan, to an extent, like Kobe, learned to refine their game when they couldn't sky over everybody every time. The fadeaway jumpers from Jordan, that, as Tim Brando alluded to, is what you're seeing from an evolved Tiger. But again, I like part of what Tim Brando had to say. If you can't fix the emotional, the family, the personal, you ain't fixing the rest. One feeds the other. A complete comeback from Tiger Woods, at least from what we can see on the exterior. And I'm not sure that he's done yet. He's at 15. Can he creep up to 18? That'll be the next question. The next thing we're going to do, one more trip, and then we'll hit a break. To the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Ken, you got the final say in this segment. What's on your mind?
I was impressed by his cool calmness. You know, looked like he just, you know, steady, and then allowed those guys to make mistakes, and he capitalized. You know, but you're right, the greatest comeback, man. I tell you what, I was one of those guys that said he would never, ever win another major, so I'm eating crow today. I must confess, I didn't think he could do it. Well, guess what? He's done it, and I think he'll win a couple of more. As for Will Wade, they reinstated him, and I'm pretty sure you spoke on it. I hope to hear something in the next break, next half when you get on the line again and find out exactly what took place. But I thank you for taking my call.
Always, Ken. You know we appreciate it. Look, there's not a whole lot more than what was said yesterday by LSU, and I'll briefly encapsulate this, and then we will hit that break. LSU reinstated him last night, right about the time Game of Thrones is coming on. I don't know that because I watch Game of Thrones. I occupy my Sunday nights in other directions. Not throwing appreciated you because you don't or you do. You know what I mean. I just was on Twitter and people said this is a very convenient dump time as news dumps go. What I will tell you is this. It happened quicker than I expected, but based on Wade changing representation or supplementing his representation, I do think this was an expected first step. I'll also recognize that Wade's new attorney in the fold knows what the hell he's doing. I also believe this allows Wade to recruit and then re-recruit some of these guys that are testing the NBA waters, and we'll see what happens from here. I don't think the concrete is dry on this one, though. And again, I'm going to give some credit here because he had the stones to post this before anybody else. Scooter Hobbs, Lake Charles American Press, I agree with him. Oliva's wording was ambiguous. It just is. Absent actual evidence of misconduct is part of the contractual-based language that Oliva used in explaining part of why they reinstated him. But here's the bigger part. Wade, in meeting with LSU, according to Oliva, quote, satisfies contractual obligations. Doesn't say that they believe or buy everything that he told them with his attorney on Friday. It just means that he agreed to sit down. The NC2A was there. And so far, he did enough to come back on, just like Javonte in a pinch did enough to come back on. We'll see what happens from here. I'm at the point where I'm done prognosticating. I'm not rooting anymore. I just think Wade is to blame in this situation for his actions. If he's not allowed back, he'll have himself to blame, not Oliva and Alexander. But I will tell you, there's culpability with those two as well. Of course there is. They sat on their hands from October through mid-February. So don't get me as being an anti-Will Wade guy. I think he's been arrogant and sloppy, and there are prices to pay for that. Not often you get second chances from that. If he does, we'll move on. If he doesn't, I don't think Aleven Alexander should either. But I'm not sure that those two are going to get a chance either way. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in. Hard to believe, but we haven't even started to throw shade yet. I'll do that next on 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Just a few things going on in the world of sports. Here we are at 5:19 p.m. We have taken 12 calls. We'll make it a baker's dozen. My gut tells me sooner than later. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. Before we take another, though, it's time for a daily tradition, the 5 o'clock hour. Time for your daily reminder, frankly, that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home and to beautify life outside your home. Alex will be the one to put up your shades and awnings while Todd takes care of the installation of your patio covers in those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the team at Patio Center is ready to up your patio game in 2019. All it takes to start, a quick trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
There are certain times in life where you just should not have a cell phone. I'll rattle off a few. I don't even think this needs to be said, but let's make sure that I do it. Funerals, wedding ceremonies, I would say inside hospitals for a lot of major events, right? Deathbeds, birth of your child. There are a lot of personal life instances, as I just enumerated, where you shouldn't have your cell phone out, ever. There are a hell of a lot of them from a professional standpoint as well. And what we saw Saturday night as the Philadelphia 76ers were in the midst of getting housed in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference first round playoff series against the Brooklyn Nets. They're at home. They're getting crushed. And next thing you know, in the fourth quarter, the mothership cuts to the bench of the Sixers. Amir Johnson is looking at his cell phone, and Joel Embiid starts looking at it with him. Now, CD, there's a potential caveat to this situation, and you better believe that I'm going to get to it. But before any of that, here's the sound. After the game, Sixers head coach Brett Brown addressed it.
Well, my thoughts, and I learned this walking to this room, is first, it's completely unacceptable. And second, we will deal with it internally, I'm sure, very soon.
After the game, and here's where I have to give the benefit of the doubt. If indeed this is true, maybe it changes things somewhat. Joel Embiid, after the game, explained that Amir Johnson was checking on his quote-unquote extremely sick daughter. Hey, that may be the case. But if it's that bad, I'll suggest maybe he shouldn't play in the game. If it's that bad, I think there's somebody else on the training staff that can handle that duty for him. If you play professional sports, I can't see any situation in which you should have a cell phone on the bench during the game. The optics of it are horrific. If what Joel Embiid said is true, it cuts into that at least somewhat. I'll suggest that there's at least somebody else maybe that could be taking care of that. I'll take some of the levity out of it, Clint. I'll get a little lighter here. Let's wind down with throwing shade today. I've got a part two for you, and here's where you can laugh at me. I'm in a fantasy baseball league. It made sense for me to pull the goalie yesterday. What do I mean? I was winning in every category except for strikeouts against with my batters. Made sense for me to pull my entire offensive roster out. Let the other person strike himself out, and then take every offensive category. My dude, I don't know how this happened, but somehow, some way, I forgot Miggy Cab. I literally took 9 out of my 10 guys out. I forgot Miguel Cabrera. And his ancient ass, still slugging away for the Detroit Tigers, struck out not once, but twice. I lost that category yesterday by one strikeout.
Yeah.
It was the perfect strategy, but I'm my own worst enemy. Yet again, a reason why if you want to play fantasy baseball and win, you should probably just play in my league.
Exactly. It's just ridiculous, man.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Remember that time, way back when yeah. I set up the perfect outro and you said, exactly, it's ridiculous, man? Hit the button, play the music, post shade. We're not done yet.
Yeah, of course. We're never done throwing shade, let's be honest.
We're never done, right? The defense never rests. We just adjourn occasionally.
Yeah, basically.
We got time for your calls. Billy Napier coming up on the other side of the break, 706-0111. And a lot of people going in on Tiger Woods, Dustin Diamond Poirier. And, of course, LSU will wait. Now, I think we've got some time to explore this, especially on the other side of Billy Napier talking Raging Cajun spring game. But there's some things that we haven't said yet on this show that we probably should when it comes to Dustin Poirier and what this means for him and maybe what comes next. So I'll let you take the baton and run with it a little bit there, because I don't think this is the finish line for a guy who is continuing to ascend in his profession.
Oh, no. I mean, he's 30 years old. He's definitely got a lot left in his career to kind of go after. And I think the next thing he's going to go after, because it's the interim lightweight title he has as of right now, and it's all about what happens with the unification bout between him and Khabib Nurmagomedov. I'm not even going to bother trying to hope that was right. But
you beasted through that.
Yeah.
Everything that you did wrong at the end of throwing shade, you totally redeemed yourself. No question about it. Any idea or inkling of when that bout may take place?
I think I was seeing some stuff on MMAJunkie.com not long after the fight that the idea is it winds up being a fight in Abu Dhabi in August is the idea.
All right, hold on. Just because it's my show and it amuses me.
Yeah.
Dustin Diamond Poirier versus who and where? Say that sentence one time.
Khabib Nurmagomedov. I can't even do it. But anyways, it's in Abu Dhabi, basically. Khabib versus Poirier in Abu Dhabi is the idea of like when this could wind up happening. It's not official in any sense, but that's where everybody's saying it's going to wind up being.
Officiated by Samir Nehinanajad from Office Space.
Nailed it.
There you go. Not bad. Not bad at all, my friend. All right, as we head into this midway point break of the 5 o'clock hour, we'll try to regroup and use our syllables. Use all of our words if we get a chance. I told you Billy Napier's coming up on the other side of this break. And you may recall, about a month ago, we did the first B2BS from Rufino's on the River. Billy Napier was a guest at that. We ran it back this past Friday. That was a blast. Seriously. A full hour of Kevin Falk sitting in. Our guy Nico Yanko from the U Athletic Department talking about some of the things they're doing to continue scaling the mountain. We'll be back out there this Friday. We need you to come and join us. I know, it's a good Friday. For some of you, that means you won't have to work. Hey, that's good news. And you have an opportunity to enjoy life on the river. You can hang out in the bar area, in the patio area. They're going to have some specially packaged up Lenten specials in terms of appetizers. Come out and join us if you get a chance. We'll announce our special guest in the program later in the week. But B2BS Friday, back out at Rufino's on the River 4 until 6:30. We'll come right back in. Coach Napier, when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back in with more of your 5 o'clock hour. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. A lot of things happened this weekend, right? We've talked about many of them. It's time to dive into the deep end when it comes to Raging Cajun football. The spring game, they moved it indoor, but they got a lot of very, very useful performances, things that'll be indicators for the future. To talk about all of it, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline, second-year head coach of your Raging Cajuns, It's Billy Napier. Coach, thanks for dropping in with us today. How are you?
Doing great, Ben. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, I want to get right to the vermilion and the white, and the competition part is important, but as a coach, what were some of the overall themes and takeaways you had from the way that your guys got after it, and maybe the way that some of the new kind of meshed with some of the old guard for your team?
Well, I think we, first thing is, I think our kids worked really hard. You know, Saturday kind of capped off about 14 weeks of work for our guys, started back in January, and really felt like we made steady improvement throughout. You know, I think we're a bigger, faster, stronger team, certainly more familiar with our concepts on offense, defense, and game changers. And, you know, I think that what you saw Saturday was a product of that. You know, we still have plenty of work to do, but I think a lot of individual players made improvement. And I thought offensively and defensively we improved fundamentally. We got a lot accomplished in the kicking game as we still got lots of competition with some of the specialists. But overall, I thought our staff did a nice job in year two. We're teaching at a much more efficient rate. You know, I think everybody in general in our entire organization is a little bit ahead of maybe where we were last year.
The most popular guy on any football team, as you know, is the second string quarterback. And while Levi Lewis entered and left spring as your number one, I think a lot of heads were turned, rightfully so, by Jahvé Magalé and his performance Saturday, 16 of 21, 245 yards and two touchdowns. I'm sure this is the type of thing that you saw from the kid coming out of JUCO, but I guess your reflection on just how he translated that on Saturday.
Well, Jahvé's been here, you know, he's been here maybe 6 weeks. You know, he enrolled in February, middle of February. I think the first day he was here was February 17th. So he's, you know, fresh off of spring practice. I thought he made gradual improvement. And really, some of his stronger performances were three or four practices. So he's certainly moving right along in his progressions. I've been very impressed with his arm talent. He can change his arm angle. He's got plenty of arm. He's an accurate passer. He processes well. I've been impressed with him as a person. I think he's got really good character. I think he's a bright young man, and he's capable of processing. So he's got a bright future. We're excited to have him for 3 years, potentially four more years here on our team. You know, young man did not play football last year, so I think he'll only get better. You know, he's 2 months away from being cleared to play with his ACL rehab. We're anxious to get him up to full strength and continue working on our system. He needs to have a great summer, but certainly impressed with him Saturday and what he was able to do.
Talking with Billy Napier, head coach of the Raging Cajuns on 103.7 The Game. When you combine Levi Lewis's skill set with a guy like Magalé, some of the other talent you're going to have coming in, how comfortable are you with the idea of playing two guys at that position if that's what's best for your team?
Well, right now we only have one quarterback that's ready to be put in the game, and that's Levi. I certainly think that as we get close to that opener in New Orleans against Mississippi State in the Superdome, I think we'll have a little bit better of an idea of where we're at. You know, I think we played two quarterbacks last year, partly due to Levi and his ability and his, I guess, level of trust and respect that we had in him, not only myself and our coaches, but also his teammates. So, you know, I think we've got work to do to get to that position. I think, you know, I'm open to the idea of playing two guys, but certainly right now Levi's our clear-cut starter and number one guy. You know, has had a tremendous spring. You know, been very impressed not only the progress he's made, but also his leadership ability and the way he's run our offense. So we also have Clifton McDowell, who's been very competitive and had some bright spots out there. And we add Chandler Fields to the mix June the 1st. So it's going to be a very competitive summer and training camp. And, you know, a lot of the work that you do as a quarterback happens in June and July, you know, where those guys take ownership. A lot of player-run operations that we'll have throughout the summer. So a lot of work in front of us. I know these guys are excited to compete even more.
Coach, I know that you inherited a pretty talented receiving core, but along with your assistants, you've been able to go out and recruit a bunch of guys for the future, and I think the future is now, especially with some of the returns from Khalif Gossett, Bryan Smith Jr. What can you share with our listeners about the progress that they made this spring and maybe some of the rapport they developed with quarterbacks like Lewis?
Well, we've added some quality players. You know, not only do we have Bam Jackson and Jamarcus Bradley coming back, but some of these guys that did not play a major role this year that we've always felt had a lot of talent have really matured. They've become more dependable, more accountable, a little more consistent in terms of the way they practice, the urgency, the intensity. And now that's turning into production. Jamal Bell, the young man who played a small role on our team last year, I thought had a really good spring. And, you know, Ryan Smith Jr. is a young man we signed that got here in January, had a great offseason, really tough kid that plays well without the ball, did a really nice job on special teams. But a big target, 6'3.5", you know, 211 pounds, a great catch radius, and a guy who, you know, is tough to tackle. So I think, you know, those three guys proved to be very very much in the mix there, you know, to get targets. And we'll add three more really good players on June the 1st, Jacob Bernard, Peter Bullock, and Brandon Lejeune. So we're going to have a good core there. Be tons of competition headed into the summer and training camp. But we're excited about that group, and I think that could change our offense, you know, with the with some guys that can stretch the field and make some plays after the catch.
Coming down the stretch with Billy Napier, head coach of the Raging Cajuns. Good enough to spend some time with us Monday, about 48 hours removed from the UL spring game. And the last time that we went one-on-one, Coach, you told me that you thought defensively was where this team would take the biggest jump from 2018 to 2019. How much of that did you see come to fruition during the spring?
Well, that's probably what I'm most pleased with during the spring practice. I thought Coach Roberts and our defensive staff did a nice job. I thought we kind of took the next step, fundamentally really improved, you know, not only up front, but also just the front seven in general. Our run fits were much cleaner. I thought our secondary really took some steps forward in coverage. I like where we're at. I thought we played better in the back end, probably as well as we've done since we've been here. You know, I think just in general, that group of coaches, you know, they were all not very familiar with this format, the art process, the way we do things. I think they started this offseason with kind of knowing what the ending looks like, beginning with the ending in mind, really taught at a high level, much more efficient using their time. I thought the addition of Lamar Morgan, you know, his attention to detail, his urgency in the back end, the cornerbacks really performed much better this spring. So I think he's got a really good working relationship with Coach Tony, who's a bright, sharp young coach. He's done a nice job for us since he got here day one. So Ron Roberts is an excellent defensive coach. His pedigree, his history, I think we're starting to see that come to fruition as these guys grow up. We'll add a lot of good defensive players, not only when we get healthy, but also this signing class that we had has several defensive players that I think can make an impact.
Got to have some fun with you as we finish up here, Coach. I know that the football season ticket renewals, the date for that, right? The deadline was Saturday, the 13th. Brother, right. Do you know that you were a bobblehead? Is that the first time that's ever happened?
Man, I'm going to tell you what. You know, that took some work to get me to agree to do that. But, you know, I'm all about it, man. Why not have a little fun with it? You can't have a little make fun of yourself. You don't deserve to be in this position. So, you know, I'm up for whatever it takes. You know, I think I'm excited about what we can do here at UL. I think just having a chance to work hand in hand with our players the last 14 weeks, we got a special group of young people here that have really sacrificed and invested and committed a whole new standard, and I think you know, we want to fill up Cajun Field, and if it takes a bobblehead to do that, man, I'm all in. So I'm excited about the group of people that we have here, not only players but the coaching
coaching staff, support staff. You know, we're up to something over here, and it's just a matter of time. But lots of work to do, you know. Our guys on spring break right now. We'll be back at it here Monday the 22nd. But I'm excited about the progress that we made and look forward to the challenges ahead.
Coach, I don't think it's a secret that you guys are up to something over there. I appreciate you spending time with us here. Enjoy whatever break that's coming to you, your staff, and your family. We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate you having us, man. Appreciate you covering our program. And hope to see you soon. Go Cajuns.
There you have it. Billy Napier, head coach of the Raging Cajuns. It's spring break for the kids, not the coach. Or at least he had to sit down, chat with me, and then he can go on a break. Either way, we do appreciate Coach, but we got plenty more coming at you on the show today. Your chance to respond to any and everything you've heard so far. Busy, busy show to date. But we're not done. Chandler Rome at straight up 6 o'clock and a Q&A replay with Tim Brando at 6:30. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
I'm going to tell you what. You know, that took some work to get me to agree to do that. But, you know, I'm all about it, man. Why not have a little fun with it? You can't have a little make fun of yourself.
If you can't make fun of yourself, if you can't be a caricature of yourself, quite literally as a bobblehead, you don't deserve to wear the crown. Coach, I'm right there with you. Make fun of myself, or at least Clint, every single day. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're back on 103.7 The Game. That was fun from Billy Napier. And really, we're in one of those sweet spots right now. 10 minutes to 6 o'clock, sandwiched in between great interviews. That means it's your time to call. We just had Billy Napier. We will have Chandler Rome at straight up 6 o'clock to talk about those Stros that have won 9 in a row. You want to call in? Do so right now. 706-0111. While we do have time, CD, I want to update the Twitter poll. I got to tell you, before I moved here some 3.5 years ago, there were a lot of things that I had to be convinced of. One of those was that not every town is a Twitter town. Good God alive. Lafayette and Acadiana is absolutely a Facebook area. There's no question about it. The responses we get there are usually more in number, Clint. I find they're also a little bit more in line with the calls that we get, right? So there's a lot of Dustin Poirier response to our Sink or Swim question on Facebook. It is extremely one-sided on Twitter, but some of the also-rans even surprised me at least a little bit. Why don't you give us the latest, the rankings, as far as percentages on Twitter. Sink or Swim question of the day, which weekend event brought you the most happiness?
I think it's 48% Tiger wins at Augusta, 23% LSU reinstates Will Wade, 19% Poirier winning the UFC lightweight title, and 10% Game of Thrones premiere. I don't know who those 10% are, to be honest with you.
That percentage was higher, by the way. Not all that long ago.
I'm amazed at that.
That percentage was, I think the last time we checked this, less than an hour ago, it was in like the 15 to 20% range, Game of Thrones premiere. We've had a little shade thrown at us for even including that as an option amongst three things that are clearly sporting events.
Well,
so,
hey,
just saying.
Sometimes you need the fourth thing to be in there. It's almost like the joke poll, if you will. Like you have like three that you know are going to wind up getting the run, and then the fourth one is just like for giggles and grins to see if anybody notices.
Hashtag shut up Clint.
Yes, there we go.
That might be infringement.
Yeah.
Might stay away from that one.
Cease and desist there.
I'll leave that one alone. What I do know is this. Tiger Woods at Augusta was magical yesterday. Nothing short of it. What he's been able to accomplish, to me, is probably the biggest story. Seriously. Look, this Will Wade LSU thing – It's a mess. It's been a mess. I think it's going to continue to be a mess for a little while. Locally, what Dustin Diamond Poirier did is probably the answer to this question that fits best. Locally, I think he's accomplished something on a national and even a global scale that needs recognition. So I'm glad we're doing it here. Even some rumblings that he may appear on a certain show on this station again this week. I won't steal thunder. That's not my game. But I do know that what Tiger did yesterday is going to resonate for quite some time, especially if he parlays it into more. And you know what's funny, Clint? You know this because I sent you the show rundown at like 10 a.m. this morning. That's how you know this, and you have for the better part of, I don't know, 8 hours now. God, I work too long in a day. At like 10 a.m. this morning, I sent you a rundown, and the sink or swim question was, will Tiger Woods match Jack Nicklaus's total major haul of 18?
Mm-hmm.
But then we thought about it, and we wanted to include some other options. I'm glad we did.
Yeah.
It's helped us to do something I love doing. Explore the space.
Exactly.
But I do wonder, and I bet we'll be able to use that. We'll recycle it. It's an evergreen. I don't think we've seen the end of Tiger winning majors. Would you agree?
I would wholeheartedly agree with you there, Ben, because of the fact that I feel like it's you're not going to be waiting 14 more years to see him win a master because or a major, I should say. Some because of the fact now he's done it. You can about imagine like how much of a confidence boost that is. Like look at Chris Davis on Saturday. He snaps his 0-52 like hitting streak. Imagine what kind of confidence boost that is for a guy that was kind of getting run on all the major radio stations across this great country, bagging him about the fact that he wasn't able to hit, and then he went 3-for-5, including a 2-run single. That's a big confidence boost to be able to.
Do you know, by the way, piggybacking off that, do you know that I missed some of the, you know, we had Frank double dip on us today.
Yeah.
You double dipper. He called us for the second time, and he wanted to go in on low-hanging fruit, as he put it.
Yeah.
You know that I missed some about a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago? I wonder if anybody else in the station mentioned it. Are you aware that there's – you're talking about Chris Davis with the Orioles?
Yes, with those, yes.
Are you aware that there was a bus in the Baltimore area that – I think they had Chris Davis, if I read this right, painted on the side so that nobody would hit it?
Yeah, that was the best.
Remarkable. I mean, just incredible.
How was that throwing shade?
I'm out here finding ways to crush Lonzo Ball's face, and then
he's making it too easy.
Baltimore gives us the best thing since The Wire, and I'm just absolutely snoring on it, man. Sleeping on it like you can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Sleeping on it like winter is coming. And see, I don't even fully get that reference, but the kids keep saying it on Twitter and Facebook, so here I am, Game of Thrones life, whatever that means to you.
I'm not all about it either, so there we go.
I've never seen a single episode.
Me neither.
Nary a one. I'm not going to hate on people that do. This, to me, isn't the same thing as all the Bilbo Baggins people out there. I've hammered them enough in my life. You come across me in the street. Look, you read The Hobbit. That's fine. I had to for school once as well. But if that's all you do, I don't know. You just got to get out of mom's basement. It's a little bit of a problem for me. So I won't fully go down that path. But to our texter earlier that asked why Game of Thrones premiere fits on the same billing as all these other great sporting events from the weekend, just felt I would get it out there because it's everywhere I turn. Doesn't matter what form of social media you use, it is everywhere and all-consuming. All right, we're just about 2 hours down. We got one more to go. Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle hopping aboard to begin the 6 o'clock hour. Astros have won 9 in a row. They're going to finish out a very extended roadie this week. They got Oakland Tuesday and Wednesday on the road. Texas Friday through Sunday. That'll end their 8-game road streak. If they can come out of that with the win streak still intact, my gut tells me they'll be ahead of the Seattle Mariners. They're coming right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live
online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll. It's hour number three. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Ben Love, alongside the famous Clint D. And until 7 o'clock, we got you. Bringing you home inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Busy third hour coming at you. We're going to lead off talking Astros in a hot second. We'll go Q&A replay style with Tim Brando at 6:30. And don't forget, when we're done at 7, going to deposit you into the capable hands and voice of Chris Blair alongside Paul Maneri. It's the Paul Maneri Show tonight, 7 to 8 p.m. But now let's get out to the ARTCO Equipment Hotline. Our pleasure to bring back Chandler Rome, Astros beat writer with the Houston Chronicle. How are you, Chandler?
Just got into Oakland, California. I am doing well. It's been a long travel day, though.
I'm glad you're there safely, and I think the Astros, they're going to be glad when this 8-game road streak is over. But so far, it's been a part of a 9-game winning streak. How have the Astros turned around what was a relatively slow start to the season, even with maybe a step up in competition, especially against the Mariners?
I mean, they've just hit the ball. I mean, plain and simple, that's it. When they started 2-5, they had a 667 team OPS. They weren't hitting well with runners in scoring position. Carlos Correa didn't play the first three games, and the lineup just kind of felt incomplete. And then when they got home, Carlos Correa was healthy. Jose Altuve started hitting every ball he saw out of the ballpark. They're getting contributions from different guys at the bottom of their order every game, it seems. You know, Tony Kemp got on base twice yesterday, kind of kick-started a rally. Jake Mariznick's having a better offensive start to his season. It seems like every time they ask Aledmys Diaz to play, which is not very much, he's only playing, you know, once every 3 or 4 days, he comes in and does something well. So they're really getting contributions up and down their lineup. Michael Brantley drove in the tying runs yesterday. So up and down right now, they're pitching it really well, but I think what's really going under talked about really is how well their bullpen's throwing. I think we know that the starting pitching is really good, and I think we know that what Garrett Cole and Justin Verlander can do, but how their bullpen has thrown in the last 8-10 games is really exceeded, I think, a lot of expectations. Obviously, they have Roberto Osuna and Ryan Pressly at the back that give you that comfort. Pressly hasn't allowed an earned run in 25 straight appearances, and then Osuna's 16 for 16 on saves since he got to the Astros. But Will Harris is throwing well. Hector Rondon is throwing the ball really well. They've got Brad Peacock down there right now, who gave them a really long and effective outing in relief of Wade Miley on Friday. So I think it's all sort of clicking right now, and I know it's early, and I know you don't want to overreact to just like you didn't want to overreact to an early season 2-5 start, you don't want to overreact to a 9-game winning streak. But the way this team's playing right now is kind of the way that everyone expected them to play coming into the season. They look pretty lethal.
Chandler, let's talk about a major cog in the machine offensively, defensively for that matter, and a local product. Alex Bregman, he comes back from a hamstring injury, didn't play Friday at Seattle, but he did Saturday and Sunday, went a combined 1-for-7. I guess what could you share about how he's coming along, coming back from injury?
Yeah, I don't think it was a serious injury, but I think the Astros have the luxury of having a lot of different infielders in the way that they can move their infield around. They just didn't want a chance with him. So I don't think it's anything to monitor throughout the year. He had a more major hamstring injury in 2016, and he's adamant that this is nowhere near what that was. So I think long-term he's okay, but obviously I think fans are more used to him producing a little bit more offensively. But he's when you don't play for 2 or 3 days, it's hard to get back into the rhythm, and he hasn't maybe had the – he had a couple of games here and there out on the homestand where he really was hitting the ball well. You could tell he was locked in, but he's been a little bit inconsistent for Alex Bregman's standards at the beginning of the year, and I think the hamstring may have had something to do with that. But you got to remember, he's hitting at a part of their order where he's got to be pitched to, because Jose Altuve's hitting in front of him. Michael Brantley and Carlos Correa are hitting behind him, so he's going to get pitches to hit. It's just going to be one of those things where he's got to keep the ball in the air, but on a line. When he starts elevating the ball, when he starts getting under balls, it's not really what you want from Alex Bregman. He wants to be a guy that is kind of a line drive hitter to all fields, keeping his swing level. And when you see him doing that, he's locked in offensively. And I think the last couple of games, you've seen him get under a couple pitches, elevate some, hit some fly balls up in the air, and that's not what you want from him.
He is Chandler Rome, and he throws a blanket over Astros beat coverage, joining us live from Oakland, California. And you mentioned the starting pitching. We know how good they can be. And after Verlander, after Cole, then suddenly you get to Colin McHugh. He'll pitch tomorrow night in Oakland. Wade Miley pitches Wednesday night in Oakland. How do you evaluate the way that the other guys outside of the top two have pitched so far?
I think you can't really ask for much more than what Colin McHugh has given you. Colin McHugh has – you've seen the new slider he has. He refined it last year in the bullpen as a reliever and kind of rode that to a sub-2 ERA. But the slider is such an important part of his repertoire now. He's moved away from being the sort of the cutter and fastball eccentric pitcher. He's now incorporating that slider to both righties and lefties, and he's got the strikeouts to prove. He's got 22 strikeouts in his first 17 innings. He's really throwing the ball well, and I don't think anyone ever doubted that because he was a 19-game winner a couple of years ago and only went into the bullpen because the Astros had a surplus of starters. So, I mean, this guy is a starting pitcher, and he's a good one at that. You don't win 19 games in the big leagues by accident. I think Wade Miley probably will take a little more getting used to just for Astros fans just because he's a little bit of a different kind of pitcher. He's not going to be a guy that strikes a lot of people out. He's going to give up hits. He's going to give up contact. And one of the things with him is if he's not commanding his pitches, then it can be a long night for him. And you kind of saw that in his last outing on Friday in Seattle. Wasn't commanding great. He wasn't missing by much, but wasn't commanding the baseball great. I think he's starting to figure out that teams are zoning in on his cutter, which is the pitch that he kind of revitalized his career with last season in Milwaukee. And he's going to have to find a way to still incorporate that cutter and still use it because it is a good pitch. But he's going to have to find some different ways to get hitters out. But he'll get there, and the Astros have enough advanced analytics that they'll find something to kind of refine with him. And then Brad Peacock will go back in the rotation next week. But I think, again, with him, he's kind of matched McHugh in this. He's going to throw a lot of sliders. He's going to throw some four-seamers. And, you know, he's been a starter before. He's been a reliever before. I think Peacock's really given you anything you can ask for. So I think, all in all, the back end of the rotation has probably exceeded, I guess, preseason expectations. But if you ask them directly, I think that this is what the organization sort of expected.
I love talking leadership, Chandler, and not necessarily a rah-rah standpoint, but this franchise for so long seemed to lean on guys like Marwin Gonzalez. He's gone now. Brian McCann, no longer with them. Who gives them that edge now? Is it still some combination of Springer, Bregman, Verlander, or is there really another influence in that locker room that you think they like to gravitate toward?
I think Jose Altuve, though he's not vocal, he's not a guy that's going to be rah-rah on the field. He's not a Verlander type that goes on Twitter and says stuff and, you know, will be kind of the spokesman. I think Altuve carries more weight in the clubhouse than I think a lot of onlookers may think. He just the way he goes about his business and the way he carries himself, he's very much a lead by example, a lead by respect sort of guy. I think he's one of, if not the most respected human beings in that clubhouse. And I think certainly he's a guy that kind of keeps that team grounded, though he may not do it in a way that a Verlander does it or even a way that Gerrit Cole does it. Both of those guys are pretty outspoken, and both of those guys will, you know, when they've got to be rah-rah, they'll be rah-rah. And I think Jose Altuve certainly, and that may be kind of a cop-out answer because, I mean, he's the reigning MVP. He was an MVP in 2017. But I think where he gets dinged a little bit and probably not right is that he doesn't really have that much of a leadership role. Well, I'm here to tell you that he does. And I think he carries more weight in that clubhouse than a lot of people would give him credit for.
How did you enjoy your early morning Masters yesterday?
I slept through the early morning Masters. But Tiger Woods and AJ Hinch went to Stanford together. Tiger is 1 year younger than AJ. They were acquaintances at Stanford. They hung out a little bit. And they know each other. I wouldn't say they're not the best of friends, but they're acquaintances. So I know AJ was happy to see Tiger get on top, and they showed the final round at T-Mobile Park on the Jumbotron, and they played Eye of the Tiger when he made the putt to win it. I'm not a huge golf guy, but I know Tiger Woods is pretty good, and I know that it was a cool story to see him kind of come full circle and win it again. But I know AJ Hinch was happy.
We appreciate the updates on all fronts. We can't get this type of analysis anywhere else. Dude, if you're in the lobby, go check into your room. We appreciate you doing this.
All right, thank you.
He is Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle, and he's about to check into an Oakland hotel near you, if, you know, you're by the bay in Oakland. I knew he was heading out there. Didn't know that it would coincide with this interview, so again, major props to that guy for taking some time out. Now, here's our game. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'd love to take some phone calls. Clint got a few during that interview. My guess is people wanted to go back in on Tiger Woods, LSU Will Wade. There are a lot of different ways that you can skin the cat. Just make sure you dial 706-0111. And we had a huge interview in hour number one. Tim Brando joined us about 4:15, about 2 hours ago. We're going to run that back, Q&A replay style, for the 6 o'clock crowd at 6:30. And we finish off today taking you under the dome. Clint's take on UL Ragin' Cajun football and their spring game. You don't want to miss any of it, so stick and stay. More Bumper to Bumper Sports on the way on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Tournament has meant so much to me over the years. Coming here in 95 for the first time and being able to play as an amateur, winning in 97, and then come full circle 22 years later, be able to do it again.
22 years. Incredible. Tiger Woods hugs his dad in 97, hugs his little boy in 2019, and he's now won that major five times. He's got 15 total. One of the questions we'll attack in this segment: does he get to 18? Does he get to the golden standard from the Golden Bear? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Right back in on 103.7 The Game. Let's take a trip out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Doc, I know you tried to link up with us earlier. Thanks for the persistence. What you got today?
I think for me, the biggest thing was this Tiger Woods winning. I think the press of what he's done, how he's changed his game and adapted. I'm not a fan of Tiger Woods. I kind of like Ricky Fowler and I like the color scheme, but I think it's still impressive what he did compared to everybody else. And it's been bothering me a little bit in terms of trade or shade throwing. Did you see a comment about Phil Mickelson with a guy who made a comment he wanted his money back from him for watching the Tiger Woods thing? And
Mickelson
yes. ended up pulling up $100 and threw it at him and said, I want about $90,000 and he's go after yourself.
Yeah, it's so whoever said that to him is a famous country music artist, and that's why I don't know who he is, because I don't listen to country music. But apparently he threw one at him, and to your point, said, I won 90,000 of these yesterday. Have one.
Yes. Yeah, I was just kind of curious if that had maybe a throwing shade thing. So, but that was it.
Doc, we appreciate you, brother. Have a great night.
Yes, sir.
Clint, you may have to hustle that up. You may have to use the Google machine while I do the show. You may have to get me that country musician who did that. Yeah. But I know that it was at... it might have even been at Rory McIlroy's wedding. It was at a fellow golfer's wedding, and this dude just had a few belts, and then he went after Phil.
Yeah, it was Jake Owen who said this, basically.
I mean, that could be a soccer player.
He went next level and said him three words. One of them I can't say on the air, so you can kind of figure – you can read between those
two. I read the story. He basically said, you owe me some bleeping money.
Yeah.
What you and Tiger did yesterday, and this is right after the – Bleacher Report, pay to watch, you know, until it's broke and then pay for free.
Yeah.
He said, you know, that wasn't golf. That was a disgrace. You owe me some bleeping money.
Yeah.
And so then Phil looked back at him, threw a $100 bill at him, said, I won like 90,000 these yesterday. Here, you can have one. Tremendous. Phil actually had another great video. I don't even know if you want to call it a hype video, but he released it early yesterday morning, I think, before the final round of the Masters. It was him riding around in a golf cart. And he said he wanted to hit bombs. And then he took a nice little, dig at a fellow golfer. I don't think you're going to be able to trot that one out on the airwaves. I don't believe you will.
Yeah, I don't think I will.
Yeah.
Not even going to try.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't. But one of the things he did was channel his inner Todd Peterson. I want to hit bombs. Period.
I just hit nukes, man.
End of discussion. Out of your hitting nukes. You want to call the show? We got some more time. Might be your final opportunity. We dedicated the 6:30 segment toward replaying our Tim Brando interview. So those wanting to hear, and here's why I think it's interesting. If you want to hear national perspective on a local issue with Will Wade, you want to listen to the interview with Tim Brando. I know that Timmy B is from Shreveport. He's big time enough that he's gotten the perspective from outside of the boot on what's happening inside of the boot. But he also has intimate knowledge of the way things typically work in the heavily politicized LSU sporting world. It was really good earlier. So that plus his extended takes on Tiger in the Masters, we'll have that coming up on the other side of our next break, and then Under the Dome to cap things off today on Cajun spring football. But between now and then, if you want to talk, let's do so, but you better hurry. 706-0111. I put forth, CD, at the beginning of this segment, the question and the idea of Tiger matching Jack's 18. Okay, so he's got three more to go. He's now, what, 41, 42 years old, Tiger?
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range. He's somewhere between Breeze and Brady. Boom. That's how old he is.
Yeah.
He's in the vicinity, right? If I didn't just get the double play,
43.
I was close enough to the bag where, yeah, they'll count it. It's a double play. Didn't step on the bag, but I dragged a toe near it. Will he get three more? How much longer does he have to get three more? In this day and age, speaking of Brady and Breeze, speaking of Justin Verlander, right? All guys, you know, that have come up in this show and we frequent on this program. 30, elder 30s, younger 40s, and they're still playing like they did in their high 20s. Tiger Woods is not back to the guy he used to be, but that goes back to the example I gave in the 4 o'clock hour. MJ, Kobe, they eventually had to tailor their games to Father Time. Tiger did a brilliant job of that yesterday. And I believe it was Tommy that called in and brought up the point. He didn't go for it, Roy McIlvoy, 10 cup style. When he had a chance on 15, he played it a little safe. He allowed Molinari to make the mistakes, and believe me, he did. Two straight dubs, that's all it took. He ruled himself out. And yes, Tiger roared when he had to, but he played a more mature game. Can he parlay that into three-plus more major victories? Clint, here's what I would say. I will no longer put it past him. He's earned that respect for me.
Okay.
But I don't know that I'm ready to bet on him winning three more of these yet, because if you look at the litany of injuries that I just ran down, he's had to overcome so much. Can he keep pushing back Father Time with this more evolved game and beat some of these young guns who are uber-talented? I don't know that I'm expressing a vote of confidence yet for him to win three-plus majors. Don't confuse that with hating, because I think he'll get at least one more. But will he get three-plus? God, that's a lot to offer. Or a lot to ask, maybe, yeah. I should say, from a guy that, what, he's 43 years old, as you just said.
He's 43 years old, Ben. But, I mean, the only thing that I'm wondering about at this point in time is what happens with him going forward. Is he going to wind up still performing at that level that he was, let's say, when he was like 29, 30 years old or 33 years old, somewhere along those lines, where he's participating in a lot of tournaments? Or will it be, oh, hey, I'm only going to participate in these bigger and bigger tournaments?
Boom.
And focus in on those majors.
Huge point. He's got to start pulling out, and he has to an extent,
yeah,
of some of these big-time events. Case in point, March of this year. I'm here to tell you, brother, that was less than 6 weeks ago. He skipped the Arnold Palmer, which is a huge deal for him.
Yeah.
He loves that. He usually crushes that tournament, but he skipped it with the next strain. As much as he can,
yeah,
I think he's got to limit his exposure.
Load management, basically, is what you're saying.
You sneaky SOB. The old load management. Thank you, LeBron, for bringing that to all of our lives. Gail Benson suggested that Anthony Davis needed to sit out due to some load management, and they threatened to pop the Pels for like a mil plus a game. LeBron James sits out like three nights later. I'm looking on the bottom ticker on the mothership, in parentheses, load management. Thank you for that association. You set a shining example in how all of professional sports, yeah, should operate.
It's just a mess right now in the NBA with that, with the load management terminology.
How does it work for LeBron? It didn't work for the Brow, and it didn't work a few years back for Popovich, who, by the way, shout out to Greg Popovich, opposite of throwing shade, over the weekend, I believe he set the record for most wins ever by an NBA head coach, passing Wilkins.
Yeah. I mean,
passing Lenny Wilkins. Huge.
I mean, he's probably one of the best, like, coaches just in terms of consistency, because I believe this is from a few years ago. I believe we had an interview here on 103.7 The Game, and the guy said basically The San Antonio Spurs, since the NBA-ABA merger, have only missed the playoffs like twice, ever. So that's a model of consistency right
there. And certainly he wasn't coaching them the entire time. But
oh, no.
For his portion of it, they've been very Pittsburgh Steelers-like.
Yeah.
But, boy, it feels like the wheels are starting to fall off in the Iron City. Things still feel okay in the home of the Alamo. They're not where they were, but they're still playoff-level good every year.
Well, I feel like it's also the fact that Greg Popovich is just such a really good coach, and you look at all the guys that he's lost over the last, like, 3 to 4 years with Tim Duncan, Manu, all these guys, they've already left.
So what you're saying is that Greg Popovich does not equal Omar Epps. I mean, Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, basically.
Very different, I agree.
And he knows how to develop talent really well, too. Let's not get that wrong.
Not a doubt about it. One thing you haven't mentioned, it's the leadership. R.C. Buford, yep. One of the best visionaries doing it in the GM position. All right, we're coming up on our halfway break in the 6 o'clock hour. When we return, Tim Brando. After that, Under the Dome with Clint Domingue. It's what the women and children beg for. And then don't forget, the Paul Mainieri Show at 7 o'clock. You're going to hear from Paul Mainieri, Wally Poniff Sr., Ryan Terrio, Phil Devey, a host of others when it comes to LSU and UL baseball greatness tomorrow on B2BS. But you get a full flavor and a full hour of Coach Mainieri along with Chris Blair at 7 o'clock. Another reminder as we hit this break, we told you it's going to be a busy week. Tomorrow, I'm out at the Shrine on Airline. Friday, we're getting the gang back together. Ruff and Rodriguez in town. It'll be B2BS at Rufino's on the River. But this Thursday, as always, we're going to be hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch. The show is cut in half. I know, LSU baseball is going to do that to us. But from 4 to 5:30, we're going to bring you the goods, and we invite you to come out and join us, especially if you're off on Friday. Come start the weekend just a little bit early with us. Bumper to Bumper Sports this Thursday, starting at 4 from the Tap Room River Ranch. All right, quick recess, and then school is in session with the Louisiana legend, Tim Brando. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Less than a half hour until the Paul Mainieri Show at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. And it's future talk. But right about now, more Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you. Ben and Clint taking you home on this Monday on 103.7 The Game. And when we get a chance to talk to some of our big hitters, our national guys, we want to make sure that everyone gets to hear it. I understand the 4 o'clock crowd isn't always the 5 o'clock crowd, isn't always the 6 o'clock crowd. Okay, that's repetitive, but you catch my drift. You come and you go in your vehicle. You get off work all at different times. So for the 4 o'clock crowd, boy, it's been more than 2 hours ago, you got to hear from Tim Brando, his thoughts on Tiger Woods winning the 2019 Masters, the career evolution, if you will, things coming full circle, him hugging his pops to him hugging his kid, and then what it means for the sport of golf, plus probably a lot more detail on LSU, Will Wade, Joe Oliva, and then everything that is transpiring with that program in Baton Rouge. So that first came at 4:15 for our 6:35 crowd. We're going to holler at you right about now. Here's a Q&A replay with one of the all-time greats to commentate from this state on sports, Tim Brando. I want to start with Tiger Woods winning the Masters. Did you ever believe what unfolded yesterday was possible, especially during Tiger's deepest of kind of valleys?
Well, I believed it last week because I picked him to win on Twitter, and I picked him to win on a few other shows. I really thought that his game had come together, and that Augusta National was in the right shape. And I didn't think really a lot of the greatest of players were playing maybe their best golf at this stage. You know, the big talk was the heavy money was on Rory McIlroy, and I didn't see that with him going into this week. And Woods, you knew for the last 6 months had been really preparing for this opportunity. I actually thought, and I particularly felt good about the thought that Phil Mickelson could be the one that could rival Tiger. And then after the 67 he had on day one, I was pumped up for the potential of that happening because, you know, Phil would have been the oldest ever to win a major and would have been by far the oldest to win at Augusta if he had won, and I still think he's got it in him. Mickelson's hitting the ball now as far as he's ever hit it. Tiger is not obviously, he hits it a long way, but he's certainly not hitting it as far as Phil is, and he's not hitting it as far as most of his competitors. Francesco Molinari was, as you could see yesterday, was by him, and certainly Tony Finau was too. But the nuance around that golf course at Augusta and having played there so many more times than any of those other guys on the first two pages of the leaderboard really paid dividends for him. He played intelligently. He knew where to miss it. I don't think the other players necessarily did. He identified wind issues when maybe you need to look a little higher up when you're on number 12 tee. Something that Molinari didn't do, nor did Finau, nor did Brooks Koepka. And he just played a very intelligent game and then attacked when the right time came. The fairway iron he hit on 15 was just immaculate. So, I thought he could do it, and he did. And the culmination of his professional comeback now seems complete with this win. And I think it's made available to him only by his personal comeback being so great prior to that. I don't think that one would have happened without the other. And, I for a short time yesterday, this is a blanket statement, but I really believe it to be true. And I've seen some of the hatred that's still out there. When I write something positive about someone on Twitter, you're always going to get the loons that come back from the cesspool of message boards that now are on Twitter and say, blah, blah, blah. What about the scandal? What about the scandal? But for a little while yesterday afternoon, I think what we learned is that Tiger Woods, a golfer on a Sunday afternoon at Augusta, is capable of bringing together a very polarized country, both generationally and racially. That's what I took from it. And I thought, well, that's another reason why sports is so cool. It's one of the reasons why we love it to the extent that we do. And that was fantastic. And I don't care, really all ages, really appreciated it. And in the aftermath of it, when you saw him walking back towards the cabin to sign his card, from Bernard Langer to Ricky Fowler in age groups there, you saw people that genuinely were happy for him. And I think his reaction to them, as well as to the patrons as he was leaving, high-fiving everyone from outside the ropes. That's very uncommon for the old Tiger Woods. This is the new and improved Tiger, and one that I will champion a great deal more than the over-glorified, well-packaged Nike product that he was when he first hit stardom.
Tim, I believe you've read my mind here. I want to ask you, which do you see as the bigger hurdle that Tiger's had to overcome, the physical setback surgeries or the emotional, personal life turmoil? It sounds like you think one feeds into the other.
Well, I definitely think the second one doesn't happen without the first one having happened. And this has been true with a lot of golfers through the years. He wouldn't be the first. I remember my friend and a guy that I grew up with really in Shreveport, Hal Sutton, had a second season to his career in his 40s. In fact, during that period around 2000, he went mano a mano against Tiger when Tiger was number one in the world and beat him in the Players Championship. And that was en route to Hal becoming a Ryder Cup captain a few years later. Hal had been out of the game and had all kinds of problems, had gone through four marriages, and he had finally gotten married, had some children, got his personal life probably in the best position it had ever been. And he was player of the year in his plus 40s. It happens with a lot of guys. Golf is such an individual game, and most of the great players will tell you that if you're not selfish in your approach from a business point of view, you're not going to succeed. And I think a lot of times that can spill over into players' personal lives and impacts them professionally later on in their careers. Hal was called Air Bear when he was coming out of Shreveport in 1983. He won the PGA his first year. Most people thought he'd win a gazillion. But he had all kinds of issues in his personal life, and his professional career path changed and was altered quite a bit. He was really out of the sport for a while, came back, and then had that second run that was just fantastic. So it's not, they're not as well documented or as chronicled as someone internationally known quite like Tiger, but for several golfers, I mean several big name golfers, their personal lives were problematic and it impacted them professionally. And then once they solved those issues, they came back, and because golf is a game where you can play a lot longer, you can have a second whiff, you know, you can have a second chance at success. And that has certainly happened here with Woods. But in terms of what he went through physically, I can't imagine. I'm a 63-year-old that loves to play golf three times a week, and I'm popping ibuprofen like most guys my age before I play and after I play. And he's out there competing with these young guns that are incredible that he helped make because of his greatness, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s. These kids were just being born, and he's out there not only competing with them but beating them now. That's amazing, particularly to have gone through the rash of injuries, and that at one point within the last 2 years he was unable to walk or pick up his kids. That just that had to be incredibly difficult from a physical point of view. But that again goes back to the personal side. I think if you don't understand that there's something more important than you in your life, then you don't get to the point where he was, so that he could finally make this about face and turn in his career, and take those of us that were once critics and get adulation from us in the second go round. That's the thing that's amazing to me. I made a point to another gentleman the other day. I said I can't imagine an individual athlete that has changed his image any more than Tiger Woods, maybe since George Foreman. If you're old enough to remember George Foreman before he lost to Muhammad Ali in the rope-a-dope, and then you met him about 5 years after that when he went through all the things in his life that he did, and then he made this incredible comeback to win a heavyweight championship, he was like one of the most beloved, happy-go-lucky teddy bear figures and got all these endorsements with the George Foreman grill and you name it. It was a completely different individual. And I think, to some extent, Tiger's path has been a little bit similar to that.
We're joined by the great Tim Brando, national sports commentator for Fox Sports. Turning our attention to Will Wade, his reinstatement by LSU. Who draws your ire the most in the way that this situation has unfolded?
Oh, gosh, just the system. You know, I'm not gonna take shots, any more shots at the individuals that I already have. I think you've read my tweets, and you've certainly heard maybe past interviews that I've had. But just understand it from this standpoint. Everything that is wrong with intercollegiate athletics, literally everything that's wrong with intercollegiate athletics, is on display with what's going on in Baton Rouge right now. There's simply no upside whatsoever. No one in a leadership position has taken responsibility and accountability for the abandonment of that basketball team that won a conference championship and went into March Madness without its leader as its head coach. The school is not being accountable. The athletic administration literally running to the hinterlands to protect what other than themselves. And then the coach who determines, no, it's not in his best interest to meet with his bosses until long after his team has gone through what the March road is all about. He needed to be there with his team. And if he is so misunderstood, and if he is literally being taken out of context by whatever was reportedly on those wiretaps, he should have been shouting at the mountaintop, get me back with my team, get me back with my team. None of that happened. And this reinstatement statement from the athletic director's office is another farce. Nowhere in there does it say we suddenly believe our coach or that we believe that he'll be there for multiple years or the length of the remaining years of his contract. None of that is there. It's legal mumbo-jumbo, all brought on from a coach who is lawyered up and an athletic administration that has doesn't have the legal means to handle the lawyer that's handling Will Wade, who also handles Sean Miller in Arizona, handles Bruce Pearl in Auburn, and Will just was a little late to the gate to get the right guy to make sure that he could be reinstated. The bottom line here from my point of view, and I'm looking at it from 3,000 feet in, is that I've been in this business long enough to know when no one's being honest with me and no one's being honest with me. Until somebody in a position of leadership, whether it's the president of the university, the athletic director of the university, or the head coach, says something to me that's not in a written statement of legal mumbo-jumbo, none of them have any credibility with me whatsoever, and they have become a national embarrassment to my home state, and I don't take that lightly.
Tim, incredibly well said. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'd love to do this again. Thank you for doing it today.
You bet. Happy to be with you.
I told you, you might just enjoy that one. So if you didn't catch it earlier, we're glad we got to run it back to you now. And right about now, I got to take our final break in the show. When we return, the women and children, they'll be pleased. It's their favorite segment. We're taking you under the dome, UL spring game takeaways. That's right, Cajun fans. Do not go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Don't put your life on the line.
Show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
Back in business, and honestly, I can't believe that 3 hours have come and gone. Now, they haven't just yet, but they will shortly. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, almost the 7 o'clock, and the beginning of the Paul Maneri Show on 103.7 The Game. And it's crazy to think that almost 3 hours have transpired on today's tour because, well, of a few reasons. One, it's just the first of 5 legs today. So make sure that you got this on your calendar. Yes, we're doing 5 shows. Yes, we'll be here on Good Friday, but we're happy about that. I'll explain it in a moment. But the other thing that really connects the dots, well, I just told you, you're going to have the Paul Maneri Show on the other side of our hour break. He'll be one of my guests tomorrow. And so let me give you the drop, exactly what's coming the rest of the week on B2BS. Tomorrow, 4 to 6:30, our pleasure to get back to the Shrine on Airline and do a special edition of B2BS from the Wally Poniff Classic. Wally Sr., he'll sit in live with me. Our annual chat, it'll lead off the show at straight up 4 o'clock. In the 4 o'clock hour, you'll also hear from LSU head coach Paul Maneri. In the 5 o'clock hour, well, we've got one on either side of the aisle. Scheduled for 5:15, The Riot. Yeah, Ryan Terrio going to jump aboard and talk LSU baseball, Wally Poniff Jr., and what this classic means to him and maybe the next generation of up-and-coming baseballers in the state of Louisiana. Fired up to have a multiple-time World Series champ with us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll also have, on the UL side, Phil Devey, pitched for Tony Robichaux and these Cajuns, and now making a very unique mark on this community in Acadiana in a business sense and in a philanthropic sense as well. So excited about tomorrow's show. Again, that's Bumper to Bumper Sports Tuesday, live from the Shrine on Airline. Wednesday, hey, it won't be boring, but I will be back here inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, lining up Ted Scott for that show. Bubba Watson's caddy. I'm excited about that. We'll get a look from somebody who was at the Masters and he felt the ground shake at Augusta National. Thursday, back to the Taproom River Ranch. Our weekly chats with Hunt Palmer, as well as our main man, Jeff Horchek. And then, yeah, Friday, as I mentioned, we're excited to do a show. We'll be live from Rufino's on the River. And they've got the perfect Lenten appetizer menu that's going to be ready for you. You get a chance to come and check out one of the most beautiful places to celebrate life in Acadiana. So whether you're working on Good Friday or you're not, I encourage you to come out and join us. Get ready for your Easter weekend. Come out, meet Ruff and Rodri, and have some fun. All right, enough of the laundry list because, yeah, our cup's going to run it over. We're going to have a lot of fun. We already started today with a great guest list. But, CD, you've been waiting patiently with a Zen-like patience, almost. You waited while I talked with Billy Napier, and he gave his input on Saturday's spring game. Now, CD, my friend, it's time for you to wax poetic on the same.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The spring game for the Louisiana Raging Cajuns was a fun one. It was inside an indoor practice facility, something I had never seen before personally. So that was really cool. And then you also had, obviously, great quarterback play all afternoon long. I think that was the biggest thing for me, was the fact you had the quarterbacks perform at a very high level. Obviously, the biggest takeaway has to be Jayave Magale being a big surprise, a guy that didn't play football all last year. He looked really good representing the white team. Mind you, in a losing effort, even though that was kind of questionable considering how the game ended, but it was definitely something great. Jayave Magale made a statement that he is willing to fight for this job as the starting quarterback alongside a guy like Levi Lewis, who had a solid outing on Saturday, but he did not feel it was up to his standards, and he still has a lot of room for improvement. And that's not even considering that Clifton McDowell, he looked really good in his limited outing, 10 of 16 for 136 yards, including a 12-yard touchdown pass to Khalif Gossett, who was definitely the MVP of Saturday's performance. That being said, that's not even considering the fact that you've got a freshman coming in from New Orleans in Chandler Fields, who is the crown jewel of this 2019 recruiting class. Everybody's talked about him for months. He hasn't even been part of the program yet. Imagine what happens when he joins in the summer. You've got at least four quarterbacks that are going to be dueling for one spot. And maybe just maybe you have a Magale or a McDowell or a Fields, depending on how he kind of works in his first year, be the QB1, and Levi Lewis still has his every four series like we saw last season. I am generally pleased with what I saw from the quarterback play. And it's not a bad thing that we have competition. Sure, you can say the old, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Guess what? You got four quarterbacks, and each of them brings something different to the table.
In and out with efficiency and with some information. CD, as always, thank you. And I want to say thank you to everybody who made this a great start to what should be a phenomenal week. Busy 3-hour program. Our tip of the cap to a great guest list. Tim Brando, Billy Napier, Chandler Rome, and then, of course, CD doing his thing with Under the Dome. A lot to discuss today. We have been Tiger Woods heavy, Tiger basketball heavy. We even got it to the UL spring game and a lot of topics in between, but now we are flat out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening, calling, interacting on social media. For Clint, I'm Ben, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. The Pulmonary Show is next.
From the 237 Roof Studio.